Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon, getting some great recommendations on who people would pull back from the past to play on the Jays tonight to try to get this series turned around. Ryan, this was the guy I picked early in the Green Zone Lounge.
That last pitch, 96 miles an hour, would indicate Guzman hasn't lost any arm strength. Long at bat for Frank Thomas. Two balls, two strikes. Cora at first. Nobody out here in the top of the seventh. Got him swinging.
Ah, Juan Guzman. He had some clutch starts for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Papa G picked my guy.
Oh, yes, he did.
Doc. 3-2 pitch from Halliday. Swung on and missed, and down goes Teixeira. Another 1-2-3.
Yes, Roy Halliday. A lot of people going with pitchers. As Bob Nightingale even went pitcher as well.
This team needs help.
They need a shutdown guy to get one or two hits tonight, just in case they can only win a 2-1. Who would you bring back for the Jays tonight for Game 3? 1-877-332-8255. But right now, let's talk Rough Rider football.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Brittany Gray.
He's our Green Zone Rider reporter.
And got the list.
That is a long list. You don't have to read out every single player. The injury report is out for the Rough Riders, and today's the day where they announce who's available and who is out. Let's talk about the notable players that are available for this game. Four in particular. Let's start with the quarterback. Trevor Harris is available. Load management. We do expect him to be on the depth chart tomorrow.
Yes, this team only really has three quarterbacks on there. I think they would feel comfortable starting or at least getting playing time in a CFL game. Of course, they have the younger quarterback here who's kind of just been brought in recently. He will be on the depth chart, but he'll be the third. Not even running short yardage. If Trevor Harris sees the field, something's gone terribly wrong this weekend.
So it's not going to be like one of those things where they roll him out for a series in the game in the first quarter?
Just to keep him
in it?
Maybe. I don't know, but I wouldn't if I was the coaching staff. In my opinion, he should not see the field this week.
Would he be even considered if Tommy Stevens wasn't out?
Oh, like on the run? No, if Tommy Stevens was there, they would run him short yardage. And yeah, Trevor Harris wouldn't be on the roster, but you need three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
He's going to be on there just as the third quarterback and mostly a spectator.
Okay. Load management available for Trevor Harris. Brett Lawther available. Do you expect him to be the kicker or not? Because from what we were watching on the two open day, on day one, and you on day two on those open days, Michael Hughes was doing everything, field goals, kickoffs, everything. So what do you think this depth chart looks like tomorrow?
That's another one where I'm not really sure, because heading into last week, Brett Lawther missed every day of practice, had the one full practice foreclosed and played. So I think that if Brett Lawther is available and he is healthy and not dealing with a back issue, I think you do dress him if he's going to be your kicker for the rest of the way after going 5-for-5. I think you do. You keep it going, keep the consistency, especially if he just refound his kicking motion and refound kind of that confidence. You don't want him taking some time off and get back into his head about what was going wrong. So if he's available to go, I think you do put him out there.
We had this conversation in the Green Zone Lounge earlier, Britton, and then you were tasked with doing the math. So I'm wondering if you've got a breakdown for us on the possibility of a four-way tie for second in the West and how the tiebreakers and everything would work out.
Yeah, my math is the Riders are in first, and I do not care what happens the rest of the way. That is for people in other markets to figure out.
That's Winnipeg's problem. That's not Britain's problem.
Why do I want this to happen so badly?
I just want to get the tiebreaker to a coin flip. That is the one thing I want when it comes to the tiebreakers.
It's a possibility. This could happen.
Well, a four-way tie is a possibility. There's no chance they're doing a coin flip.
But yeah, it is not that far outside of the realm of possibility that we could have a four-way tie for second in the West. That's never happened before.
No.
No.
I think the Bombers might be out in that
Yes, in a four-way tie scenario, the Bombers missed the playoffs.
And we did go to the rule book to sort of break it down on how, like, if that does happen, like, how do they work it all out with points and everything like that? And yes. And then this ended up in a conversation about would or wouldn't they televise the coin flip?
You have to televise it.
You have to.
Be a YouTube live special.
Oh, no. CFL Plus?
No.
You got to televise it.
You got to find a way to make that a thing.
On TSN?
Have Dustin Nielsen doing a half-hour pre-flip show before the coin flip.
It's the last tiebreaker. It's in the CFL rule. The last tiebreaker is a coin flip, by the way.
If everything else is equal.
Point quotients and everything else that before that, but eventually if it's all tied, it gets to a coin toss, if only. Britton Gray joining us here.
There'll be a Netflix movie about this if it happens.
On the Green Zone, the injury report is out. Tavon Campbell is available.
I like that.
As is Aubrey Miller Jr.
I like that a lot.
So some injuries getting back healthy for the Rough Riders.
Yeah, with Tavon Campbell, he's been out for long enough. You want to get him his game legs under him again. Play these last 2 weeks here. Plus, it helps with the ratio as you try and figure out how you want to roll guys out for this final week. For the playoff game. Mm-hmm. Because then, okay, you have your Canadian here. We want to keep it as simple as they can.
It's interesting because you brought this up when we were having a conversation about the injury report and what we were going to see. And you made a really good point that even with them going through the motions of resting guys because they've already locked up top spot in the West and, that conversation about who are we going to give, who needs a break more than this guy, the key player, even with that conversation, a lot of these guys have started games this year.
We'll just wait till we get the depth chart tomorrow where you're going to look out there and be like, isn't he a starter? Hasn't he been playing the past 3 weeks or now I know this name. There's not going to be a lot of unfamiliar names as we've had in previous years where who's this practice roster guy who's going this week? This is kind of,
that's a sign of the depth.
It's
right?
It's that blessing in disguise about being able to have it or having injuries and being able to push through the injuries and let guys get meaningful time. When guys get healthy, you have faith that the guys who would maybe have to go in again have already had some CFL experience.
Now, some of the players who did play last week who weren't playing this week: Keyshawn Johnson, Micah Johnson, Roland Milligan Jr., AJ Ouellette, and Marcus Sales, all listed as out. This week for the Rough Riders, Micah Johnson, AJ Ouellette, load management. Marcus Sales has been battling that ankle for the last couple of weeks, so they're just resting him. And we don't know yet the severity of Keyshawn Johnson's knee injury. And Corey Mace was kind of vague about it yesterday. It sounded optimistic, but this might be wait and see how they practice the week of the West final. We might be waiting 3 weeks before we really know how serious that knee injury is for Keyshawn Johnson.
And that's the luxury of having first place clinched. You have the ability to tell guys, go live in that trainer room, get all the treatment, get everything done. Don't push it. Just wait and get healthy for that week leading into the West final.
There is some good news, right? I think the Sean Bain Jr. and the Tavon Campbell, the fact that they might not play, but they're available, I think is great news for this team.
Well, for Sean Bain Jr., you'll hear the interview on the Green Zone pregame show. I chatted with him. This is the first game he's going to be able to play receiver, right? He's been a kick returner. He's been held out on knee injury.
Yeah.
Getting some receiving, because if Keyshawn can't go, it's another option, or another receiver goes down this week. It's another option. This is a great opportunity for players like Sean Bain Jr., who have played a lot of snaps in the Canadian Football League, to get in there, show the coaches, you can rely on me. You can go through the years of Grey Cup champions. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders in 07, their starting receiving core in the Grey Cup was 75% backups at the start of the year. Like, Andy Fantu seemed like the only guy, and he was just his second-year kid in that receiving core in 07. Nick Arbuckle had to come in. You've seen defensive backs have to step up, and the Riders can play all these guys to be as ready as possible for when the meaningful games start again, November 8th against whoever it may be visiting Mosaic Stadium, Britton.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm intrigued. Like I said, when you look at the depth chart, you might look at the receiver room and be like, wasn't this our starting receiver group at one point this year? Joe, Del Duncan Busby, Joe Robustelli, Sean Bain Jr.
Found money.
They're resting starters, but the depth of this team, I don't think it's going to feel like they're resting a bunch of starters.
That is our Green Zone Rider reporter, Britton Gray, right here. We're going to be asking the audience coming up, Trevor Harris extension. Should that be the next extension for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders after Corey Mason, Jeremy O'Day signed yesterday? Britton, what do you think? This week? Locker's waiting for the Grey Cup to end before he's worried about the quarterback. I'd sign him tomorrow. Actually, this afternoon, if I had my choice.
I'm torn because, yes, Trevor Harris, with how he played this year and the leadership he provides to that room, I say sign him right now for at least one more year. I'm also like, he will be 40 years old next CFL season.
Age is just a number. Don't worry about that. Right, Locker?
Yes, until you use your face as a braking system for an electric scooter.
I hope Trevor Harris is not on any electric scooters this upcoming week.
That's actually a thing in the CFL. This a lot of guys in Toronto, in Edmonton, in Calgary. There's a lot of guys that
Ryan Hunter,
the offensive lineman in Toronto, already missed games because he got in a scooter accident.
Hit by a car while he was riding
an e-scooter in Toronto. So that's already happened this year. So yeah.
There's a lot of CFLers that use those things to zip around the cities.
I can't remember if it was either Aubrey Miller or CJ Avery, one of the guys who've been hurt. They've been ripping around on their scooter.
Aubrey Miller, they've
been ripping around on an electric scooter up around the concourse of Mosaic Stadium.
He's buzzed by me a few times up there. That is our Green Zone Rider reporter, Britton Gray, with an update as it's a lengthy injury report for the Rough Riders. We'll see what that depth chart looks like tomorrow. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. The Blue Jays just announced their lineup for tonight's game number 3. So you will see Anthony Santander back in the cleanup spot, batting fourth.
Bieber's still pitching. That wasn't changed.
Bieber is still the starting pitcher. Barger goes to seventh in the lineup. Also those not in the lineup who played in game number 2. So Heinemann comes out of the lineup as well today. And Davis
Santander is going to take his spot.
Davis Schneider is also out as the Blue Jays make a couple of shifts in that one. Ernie
Schneider's
Clement.
Been DHing. They're not taking Clement out,
are they? He's in. He's at the end of the lineup with Andreas Jimenez for today's game. So you will see a couple of shifts.
Who moved up into Barger's spot on the batting order?
Santander is fourth.
Is he fourth?
Barger's down to seventh.
Yeah, he has had trouble getting going.
So Davis Schneider is the one who comes out of the lineup for Anthony Santander getting in. But it'll be Springer, Lucas Guerrero off the start with Bieber on the mound. I'm not calling it a must win because they play tomorrow if they lose. But I'd say it's a crucial moment for the Blue Jays World Series chances.
It's as close to a must-win situation that you're going to get without it being a must-win situation.
Do you think there's going to be a good Blue Jay contingent in the crowd down there? There usually is in Seattle, but I'm not sure with the playoffs how different that will be and how much harder it'll be for Jays fans to get a ticket.
Well, in New York, And other teams have done this. This isn't just in New York. And it wasn't Trump either. Trump didn't stop Canadians from buying tickets. They'll block postal codes. So they do it, right?
Yes.
New York doesn't need Canadians to come to New York to buy tickets. In Seattle, though, they're allowing them to buy them. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of a crowd we get.
I hope it's a good Blue Jays contingent, as it usually is when the Jays visit. Jamie Locker with you in the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon. Of course, Blue Jays baseball. First pitch, 6:08 is the start time. Of course, tomorrow, the Dodgers and Brewers get the early start at 4:08. Jays and Mariners will be a 6:33 first pitch tomorrow night.
We don't have times for Friday's game, right?
Friday is still
up in the air.
TBD for now. Oh, no, they've put it down as a 4:08 start time now for the Jays and the Mariners. Early today, it was still.
So the Jays are getting the earlier game there.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. That might be the day off. Or anyway, doesn't matter.
Well, no, it's two games tomorrow, two games Friday. And, of course, it'll just be solo Brewers, Dodgers. If it goes to a game five in that series on Saturday, we'll be talking with Darryl Davis, who was going to be coming in. He's in the same spot as Jays fans are. The team lost the first two at home and are up against it against the history of Major League Baseball.
But I like the way they do that, right? Play the first two in Toronto because they had the better record in the American League, and then three in Seattle, and then back for the final two in Toronto.
Of course, in the World Series, it goes to the 2-2-1-1-1.
Yeah.
For
I don't like the back and forth, but.
Well, see how it goes for the Jays and the Mariners. Tonight, 6:08, Shane Bieber on the mound. Max Scherzer tomorrow. That makes me nervous. We haven't seen him pitch in a month, it feels like, for the Toronto Blue Jays. He's going to the Hall of Fame, but how does he pitch in game number four? But first things first, take care of business tonight. But right now, we're opening up the fan line here on the Green Zone. As Riders yesterday made an announcement that was a no-brainer. General manager Jeremy O'Day, head coach Corey Mace, lock on with extensions.
But that makes sense. 2-year extensions. Based on what we know about you, Jamie, and I, and you're a homer.
Mm-hmm. You remember, right? When I stood up for Jeremy O'Day, people were saying, "You're such a homer. Jeremy O'Day should be fired. Get rid of him. He's overrated." Nah, they're 12-4 and are a
that
home
doesn't
win away
mean you're
from
not
the
a homer.
Grey Cup. So you have Jeremy O'Day locked in for 2 years. You have Corey Mace locked in for 2 years. And as I said, there's three pillars to this: manager, coach, quarterback.
So
the only guy signed for next year is Jack Cohn. And I don't think you're rolling him out there as QB1, day one of training camp next season. He might be the next guy. Maybe he's next year's backup quarterback. But I think
talk about his arm. Like, he's got a good arm, right?
Oh, yeah. He
throws a bomb.
Come on. The future of this QB room, I don't even know if we know who it is yet on the future. Who's going to be the quarterback in 27 or 28 when these extensions kick in? But Trevor Harris, I believe
he's your guy.
I'd sign him today. I'd bring him into the office this afternoon, say, "Hey,
sit down.
Here you go. First question, are you playing next year? Do you want to play next year? If it's a yes, slide that contract over to Trevor Harris and get it done." He could be on pace for 5,000 yards passing. Now, he's not going to play the last 2 weeks,
I find this interesting because you have been. I'm not saying you got the wrong answer here, and I'm not saying you have the wrong guy, but you have been critical of Harris and waving the, "Hey, maybe he needs to take a bit of a break" flag for the last couple of weeks. And now you're like sitting him down and signing him?
Because you know what to do next year. You've seen this and you go, "Okay, this is how we manage Trevor Harris. Maybe we give him," he doesn't want to take days off, but you can sit down with him and say, "You're going to take every day one off. You're going to be out there, but we're not throwing. You're not going to throw hundreds of passes every single week before game time
to
save him from himself. You can manage that." Now that you've seen it this year.
Reg and Warman agrees with you. He's Trevor Harris, absolutely yes. Sign him for as long as the coach and general manager at least. Harris and Oletta are the only reason we are in first right now. So there is a case to be made that this year was successful. Why not try to duplicate that success? Dale, and listen, I am not ignoring what Trevor has done. I suggested
yep.
that I wouldn't do it now, that I would wait to see what happens in the postseason with this team, and that I would feel more comfortable doing it, say, in January after all the celebrating is done. Not that I want to jinx anything, knock on wood, but that's where my head's at. I'm not walking him into a back room with a contract today. I would wait and see Trevor Harris at his age. He's never been one to have much playoff success. That is from Dale in Saskatoon. And I'm kind of in Dale's camp there.
Last year, they did the same thing. They went through the season and they did not have him signed. They announced it December 5th.
Yeah.
Is when they announced that Trevor Harris was going to be the guy. That's where it
And maybe went. He is. Maybe there is something to your suggestion that his leadership and what he's done this year, you know, gives him a nod for one more year. But I think at some point, and he's 39, at some point you have to start thinking about the future, no?
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. What do you think? I'm saying Trevor Harris would be my guy right now. Because I go, well, who else is out there? Everybody's like, well, who else is out there?
Jim and I want to bring Arbuckle in. Yeah. Thanks for the text, Jim. Jim from Regina. Arbuckle! How old's
Nick?
34?
I think he's 32, if I remember correctly.
So he's younger than Bo?
He just celebrated his 32nd birthday.
Scotty the producer, he's a big Bo Levi Mitchell fan.
Bo Levi Mitchell's a free agent. But then, you know, Bo's going to be 35 or 36. And you're bringing him into a new situation again. Rather than the guy who was here, who's done the thing.
And is Hamilton.
And has got
going to let go
the team
of a guy like
one
Bo.
Home win away from a Grey Cup. That the guys respect in that locker room that lead this team. Oh, do you want it? He's the captain.
Yeah.
Jake Mayer, is he going to be the answer? We don't know that yet. Didn't get a lot of time this year to really see it. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Trade for Trey Ford? Trey Ford is overrated. We found that out this year. He's overrated. Then who else is out there?
The one thing I think you have to start looking at, especially with the rule changes coming down the pipe, with Stu destroying the league from the inside out, is you're going to need a more mobile quarterback, I think. And that, listen, the only reason I'm bringing that up is because you brought up Trey. I think a lot of teams are going to start looking for a guy that can leave the pocket and actually get around the field.
Nick Arbuckle's not mobile. He's Bo Levi's not running around.
I'm talking about when all of these changes come into effect. Mm-hmm. Anybody who has been reviewing them is saying you're going to need a more mobile quarterback.
Michael in Saskatoon, you get to be a general manager, Jeremy O'Day, right now. Are you signing Trevor Harris to a contract extension?
Absolutely. First 2 years in Saskatchewan, I was a little bit concerned with his injuries, but this year when he's healthy, he's as good a quarterback in the league as anybody else. And with his age, in a couple of years, it'll be a nice segue into Curtis Rourke.
Tony wants us to start thinking about Curtis Rourke as well.
Sure, we can think about
he's
Curtis
on the negotiation
Rourke.
List.
Well, no, he's not on the negotiation list. He's their property. They drafted him. He's theirs. It's done. Nobody can negotiate, and there's no nothing. He is the Rough Riders quarterback as long as he's not in the National Football League. But what are they going to do? Curtis Rourke isn't playing this year because he got injured in Indiana with a knee injury, so they put him on the non-football injury list in San Francisco to have him come to camp next year. And is he in their plans.
So we're,
who knows?
Does he stick on the practice roster for a
year?
And a half.
Probably. So then what happens? You are, if you're Jeremy O'Day and Corey Mace, nobody in that organization is sitting there going, we got Curtis Rourke, quarterback's taken care of.
No, I'm not suggesting that, but that is an interesting scenario because by spring, he starts falling down the depth chart in San Francisco, and then he's available.
Who knows?
The timing is
sure
very interesting.
Maybe they cut him after rookie OTAs. Maybe they cut him after training camp, and it's September. Or he's on the practice roster for 2 years. You do not know what the future of Curtis Rourke is. So as long as you don't know that answer, he is not anywhere near the what are we doing at quarterback conversation. So Trevor Harris, I would put Trevor Harris and Jack Cohn as 1-2 next year. And have if you like Jack Cohn and he's been here for a while, they must like him because they kept him around.
It is interesting
he should
that
become
he is
that
the
next guy.
Only guy in that room that has anything on paper for next year. Does that say anything or does that say nothing?
Well, it just shows that they have a little bit of, they like the kid. There's no doubt about that. But
Trevor Harris is also a big fan of Jack.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He is very, well, you talk to Trevor Harris about Jack Cohn and he has,
he really likes
not him. That he doesn't like Jake Mayer or anything like that,
no.
But Jake's a veteran. Jake knows what he's doing, right? But Trevor has been very impressed by the work ethic he's seen from Jack Cohn as a young quarterback.
Well, when we talked
in the Canadian Football
when
League.
We talked to Trevor, he brought up Jack, and the one thing he brought up is not just ability, but the questions he's asking. He's asking all the right questions right now, right? And that's important for that in that room, if you're in that room, to take advantage of guys like Trevor Harris.
1-877-332-8255. Emily is texting us. 13 years old, believes Trevor Harris is a must. Should have been signed already. No, he's older, but he's an awesome quarterback. If he was in his prime, he would be top. But he's an awesome quarterback that needs to be a Saskatchewan Rough Rider and bring us a couple of more Grey Cups. Emily, thanks for the text from Saskatoon. 1-877-332-8255.
Don't be too upset at me, Emily. I have a head injury.
A lot of people want Locker to go through concussion protocol after his face plant with the scooter over the weekend.
Jeff has me on the sixth gamer. I didn't even get a choice.
Yeah, I don't. Does Rolko have a concussion protocol? We'll have to find that out in the break. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon. Should Trevor Harris be the next one to get a contract extension with the Saskatchewan Roughriders? Corey Mace and Jeremy O'Day got some contract extensions signed yesterday. Matt texted us, an extension for Trevor Harris is a no-brainer. Clear-cut leader on the team, class of the league. Passer rating against Toronto, 137, by far the best in the CFL over the weekend. He was the pro football focus number one quarterback of the week in the CFL. And not only that, he was third overall in pro football all weekend. Not bad for the old man. Locked us into first place, hosting the West Final, which we've only done 5 times in our history. I believe it's more than five. But recently it's not. But yeah, can't understand the negativity. We need to get behind Trevor and this team all the way to victory in Winnipeg.
Is that not just realism a bit? I mean, Dino brought it up with the eye test, right? Looks good on paper. There's still a lot of question marks about this team, even with a 12-4 record, you know. And listen, we did get another text, too, from Glenn about AJ and the O-line making him look good. But I'm not going to take away anything that Trevor's bringing to the table because
You don't have the year Trevor Harris has just because of the running back and the offensive line.
No, I don't necessarily agree with Glenn on that. But I do agree with Dino. When you're watching these games, you're looking at what's happening on the field and you're going, we're here for a number of reasons.
Absolutely. Every team that's this good is.
Yeah.
But and the quarterback is a big part of that.
The question marks surrounding this squad, in my mind, are offense.
1-877-332-8255.